Perfect example of comradeship, pianist David Asciano has said. This was it. Abreu was devoted to the musical development of each member, but in addition, said Asciano, he taught us something vitally important in life, to cheerfully apply ourselves to a rehearsal with enthusiasm and openness of mind and spirit. In the heady feel of those days, there seems to have been an element of the international We Can Change the World youth movement of the 1960s and 70s. Using his government connections, Abreu set up a first public performance date of April 30, 1975, at the Foreign Affairs Ministry. Rehearsals stretched to marathon length. The process was grueling, but it was also invigorating. The players could hear and feel themselves improving daily. After the rehearsals, they talked. There were continual conversations about art, music, literature, philosophy, and life, always fed by José Antonio's wisdom. The rehearsals were thus a rich education, not only musically, but also in many other dimensions of culture. That was quite simply wonderful, said Asciano. They were the kind of conversations you don't want ever to end. At their inaugural concert, the new ensemble played Vivaldi, Mozart, Handel, and Bach, and closed with the Venezuelan national anthem. The large audience of friends, musicians, and government officials, including the foreign minister, responded enthusiastically. We were literally shouting with happiness, cellist Domingo Sanchez Bor has written. It was then that we knew this was for real. The chances of work, our careers as musicians, all that was possible, it was all true. The great wonder of El Sistema's founding myth is that it is true. What could have turned into a pipe dream instead became a vibrant, unprecedented force for musical change in Venezuela. That impetus for change and for prevailing in the face of long odds only strengthened over the ensuing decades as the unlikely youth orchestra evolved into the vast national music education network that is El Sistema today. Gaining the respect and support of the Venezuelan musical establishment was the first hurdle. The prevailing consensus was that an all-Venezuelan youth orchestra, especially one with no sponsor, no budget, and, most alarming of all, no auditions, would never succeed. You can count the people who supported us on the fingers of one hand, Beatriz Abreu, an organist and sister of the maestro, has said. It was within this reality that the El Sistema motto, Tocar y Luchar, to play and to struggle, was born. A motto that continues to inform the spirit of the project in Venezuela and around the world. The motto has recently been amended to Tocar, Cantar y Luchar in recognition of the seminal importance of singing in the youth development process. Abreu's strategic weapon in this fight was to seek plaudits outside the country. He took his fledgling orchestra to perform in Mexico City, where they won the admiration of Carlos Chavez, Mexico's revered composer and conductor, and to Aberdeen, Scotland, where they were an unlikely sensation at a youth orchestra festival. These successes caught the attention of Venezuelan President Carlos Andrés Pérez, who was presiding over an economic boom from petroleum exports. He asked Abreu how the government could help the orchestra. Abreu responded with a caveat that support must come in the form of social welfare funds rather than from the Ministry of Culture. He knew from his experience in both government and music that funding for social projects would be more sustainable than cultural funding, which comes and goes as regimes change. In 1977, a federal government foundation called Fundación del Estado para el Sistema Nacional de las Orquestas Juveniles y Infantiles de Venezuela, FESNOJIV, was established to provide support for the orchestra as a youth development project. The Evolving Vision. On the night of their first concert, in April 1975, Abreu had told his players, "You are the founding members of the Venezuelan system of youth and children's orchestras. You are the pioneers of a great undertaking." Within a very few years, his prophecy was already being realized to an extent the musicians could never have imagined. But something else, something unanticipated even by Abreu, was happening too. The players themselves were changing. They were becoming more self-confident, better and more emphatic communicators, stronger leaders. The intensity of rehearsals, the communal accomplishment against considerable odds.